Welcome to a Sober Girls Guide podcast, a lifestyle podcast based on sobriety and recovery. I'm your host and sober girl, Jessica Jabot. Inspired by my own sobriety and wellness journey, I want to spread the wealth of knowledge. Tune in each week for uncensored conversations about mental health, self-development, wellness and spirituality, and how they influence each guest's unique recovery journey. My goal is to educate and inspire and to let you know you are not alone on your recovery journey. Thanks so much for tuning in to a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Let's go! Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 259 of a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Stop what you're doing. This is major. It's huge. Hot off the press, there is a brand new sober dating app in town. I'm talking to all you, my sober, single, and sober curious girls. Club Pillar is the dating app that you've been waiting for. Jessie is the brains behind the app, and she is here to share her less than favorable dating experiences as a young sober girl and how they shaped and inspired her to create Club Pillar. On this episode, you will learn what to do on first dates besides just going for a drink, why sober girls need a dating app that's tailored to them, and what makes Club Pillar different and unique from any other dating app. And of course, how sober girls and guys can get one step closer to finding love. This is such a fantastic episode. Let's get into it. Hey, Jessie, what's going on?
We got Hi, Jessica.
Jessie.
Thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, me too. And I cannot wait to talk about Club Pillar. Like, what? This is the app that we've all been waiting for. This is the app that sober people have been looking for to get into sober dating.
This is I'm very excited. We're launching in July, late June, early July. Mm-hmm. And it's the first sober members club for sober curious people too, and dating app to hit the market. So we're really excited.
That's amazing. So Jessie, I want to back it up and I want to kind of get the background about your personal experience and relationship with alcohol. Could you give us a little, I like to call it your before sobriety self or your BS self, if you will.
Absolutely. Let me take it back to the days. So I've been sober for 5 years. I got sober at the age of 19. I'm now 25. Wow. I grew up in Manhattan, born and raised, Upper East Side girly.
Okay.
My drinking started at the age of 13 when I was going out to nightclubs, a different nightclub every weekend, going out on school days. It started where pretty like moderately. I wasn't, you know, drinking too heavy. I immediately loved the effects that alcohol produced. I always kind of felt very different than others, felt like I was very unique. And I was just drinking normally. My father passed away when I was 14. And that kind of set me into a huge spiral where drinking and drugs became my best friend. Mm. I was, you know, getting high on school nights. I was going to class high. I was partying with my identity. I didn't care about anybody else. I didn't care about school. I just cared about, like, you know, being cool, being in the scene, and just not kind of existing in the world. I was very numb. I wasn't really able to cry about my dad's loss or anything, and I kind of just numbed out through alcohol and drugs. My story with alcohol is unique in that, you know, my drinking didn't really become a problem up until 2 years later. I also don't remember a lot of that initial year, 9th and 10th grade, but I will say that my drinking really took off between the years of 11th grade of high school and my freshman year in college. I actually lost my virginity blackout drunk, which is never fun, had to be taken home from a party that night after throwing up. So that kind of started it. But yeah, I was drinking alone every night before I went out. I was a blackout drinker. So every time I drank, I was blackout drunk. I would have, you know, 15 to 20 shots a night when out on top of pre-gaming alone while straightening my hair. I was drinking wine. And then this just started to progress, you know. No consequences hadn't really ensued yet, other than that, like, I had a reputation, right? And then as I got older, Xanax became my best friend, but not just Xanax with alcohol.
Ooh.
In that I was mixing Xanax and alcohol, fell asleep on tables, had to be carried home. Everyone was always taking care of me, but still, that wasn't a problem for me. And then my relationships really started to suffer. I went off to college. It was a big drinking culture, at USC. And I was fighting with my family, calling, saying terrible things to them, stealing money for drugs and alcohol, calling the cops on clubs for letting in underage children that would let me in because I was too drunk. I was laced with fentanyl, passed out, hooking up with people's boyfriends. I mean, you name it. Lost all my relationships, burned all my bridges, had a ton of interventions. My family, was very upset. I was extremely, shameful, remorse. I was always drunk. I got blacklisted from every sorority at USC when I did rush because apparently I was starting fights when I was drinking, which I don't remember. I guess
Oh
fist fights. Like I was like, wait, me? Like I'm like the most innocent girl.
not when she's
And eventually,
drinking.
not when I'm drinking, exactly. And so I started to become more of a, social kind of pariah, and dangerous. And eventually I was just so distraught with kind of the shame and regret that I'd wake up feeling every day, specifically from social interactions, that I said, I mean, something's got to change. It took a little bit of a dark turn that I don't necessarily want to get into, but I then left USC, 2 weeks into this my second year there. I went to outpatient in New York City for a semester, got sober, worked the steps of, began in AA, worked the steps of AA, and the rest is kind of history.
Wow. I mean,
Yeah.
at such a young age, I totally see, and I've done all of those things too as a teenager. Like,
Yeah.
I think we all think that's like par for the course. Like, that's just teenagers being teenagers, right? But was there a part where you're like, okay, this isn't just me being a young girl, like partying and having fun?
Absolutely. I had a lot of friends that were also partying, right? Like that was just kind of the nature of the game. And so there was a part of me, well, I was 18, was it just my age? But normal people don't take, 15 shots alone at dinner, with, wine while they're treating their hair alone every night. That's not normal, right? It's not normal to be, calling cops on underage, on clubs letting in underage children. It's not normal to be stealing money for drugs and alcohol. It's not normal to, lose all your relationships to it, and it's not normal for it to kind of tantalize your life. And the fact that, I was showing up to class high, and it was just like I couldn't feel. That's, a lot of people, they drink and they use drugs, but I was doing it to the effect where I just didn't want to feel anything. And the way that I use and the way that I acted as somebody who was drinking wasn't normal, and I know that now.
And do you think, like, in the midst of all this, what were you really trying to escape or run from or numb yourself from?
Yeah, I think most specifically my dad's loss. It was a very traumatic loss. I think that was kind of my natural response. I think a lot of the societal pressures at such a young age. I grew up in a very kind of a bubble, right, in New York City, in prep schools, private school. It was all about connection and money and clothes. And there was a lot of pressure from a lot from a young age. And I think that was kind of my escape from the world, and myself and my emotions.
I mean, even just going to college and university, like that's enough pressure. Like, I think
Oh, yeah.
we underestimate how much pressure we put on these young kids. You know, it's not just fun and go get an education. It's harder, better, faster, stronger. Now.
Always, always. Yeah.
That's so rough. So you checked into rehab. What did you learn when you were there?
I wasn't really rehab. It was more of a group therapy, outpatient
Oh,
therapy. But they did have like, substance abuse testing every day.
okay.
I learned how to be, a human among humans, in that I was hearing about other people's struggles and problems every day through group therapy. I learned skills to teach me how to, deal with my emotions, and I, unraveled some of that trauma that I was trying to avoid. And I, yeah, I really learned just like skills to better cope with some of my impulses and urges, and how to be, helpful to other people, really. Just through giving advice, in this group setting. I think really set the foundation for being a very happy customer of Alcoholics Anonymous, which has nothing to do with Club Pillar, but it is my story.
Right. Totally. No, and I love that you share. Listen, we're down for any way you get sober. Like, that's great. If it works for you, fantastic.
Absolutely.
Love it. So getting sober at like 19, how did that affect then your relationships going forward from there?
You know, a lot of my friends that I had at that age are no longer my friends. Let's just say, you know, I had a lot of friends that were kind of enablers and party friends. I think when I first got sober, I was really still going to nightclubs a lot because I was like, look, I got sober at such a young age. I don't want to, you know, resent sobriety and be kind of ostracized as a 19-year-old who's just sitting at home, right? So I actually threw myself into the nightlife scene right away, which is not what I would recommend for a lot of people that are first getting sober. But I think I was really able to maintain my social life and that I was still able to go out and have fun and not pick up a drink because I really wanted it. You know, I really wanted the sobriety. Like, to me, it was life or death. And whatever I could do to not feel kind of out of the norm, I was still doing. So for a long time, I was also kind of, you know, vicariously living through other people's, you know, drinks and drugging, where I would still be the last one out, right, at 4 a.m. as a sober person, which I don't do anymore. But, you know, over my course of 5 years as a younger person in sobriety, I would sometimes felt like, I guess I had to prove something. I can still have fun. You know, I'm sober. I'm still the fun one. I'm still the night owl and stay out till 4 or 5 a.m. Again, I don't recommend that, but I don't think that, you know, I really started to change my social habits until a little bit later in sobriety. But I think that the toughest thing for me was always the dating piece, right? And that's where Club Pillar kind of comes from.
Yeah.
It's really tough. And I guess that this can kind of segue into, you know, how Club Pillar came to be, but especially at a young age, right? Where the main kind of way that people are meeting each other now is through dating apps, right? It is through the online world. And the first question that a guy asks you on a dating app is, let's get a drink, right?
Yeah.
And so how does one deal with that at such a young age, right? Do you tell them in the spot that, hey, I don't drink, which I've done before?
Yeah.
And, you know, they ask you, why don't you drink? You know, are you a crazy alcoholic I've gotten unmatched with in the past? If I do put that I'm sober on my profile, it gets also, you know, leads to a whole other kind of can of questions where I kind of, you know, I'm focusing more on, is the other person uncomfortable than actually getting to know this person, and vice versa. They're asking me like, also like, okay, why are you sober? Right. Like, how long have you been sober? You know, judging me, what's wrong with you? Which are not, you know, normal conversations to be having upon a first interaction with somebody, right, on a dating app that's supposed to be used for small talk.
No, totally. And I think it's fair to say, and especially on a dating app, we're literally using this app to judge people. You don't know these people. You're literally judging them off a picture, off of some words that maybe they threw together, or I don't know, maybe AI wrote it. Who knows, right, at this point?
Absolutely. And so It was very tough. It still is, but that was kind of my kind of main issue. It wasn't so much the social life piece. Sure, that, I think that really depends on somebody's personality in sobriety, right? Like, if they're, you know, maybe more introverted, they don't want to go out as much or whatever, you know, it's still maybe triggering to them. And I'm talking about people specifically in recovery, still triggering for them to go out. That wasn't a problem for me. I was able to kind of mitigate that. I've never relapsed. I've never picked up a drink since. So that wasn't a problem for me, but really it was navigating these male relations. And, you know, there have been many of times where I would go out with the person and the person would say, when I wasn't drinking, you know, why don't you drink? You're so lame. Or, I don't think you're really an alcoholic. I don't think you really have a problem. Or, you know, the other end of the spectrum, which is kind of what happened as I started building Club Pillar, where actually when the idea came to be, was I'd end up dating alcoholics. Okay. Because I didn't have the initial conversation where I was saying that I wasn't sober, because like I said, every time I put that I'm sober on my profile, it kind of felt like social suicide. If I didn't put that I'm sober on my profile, they're asking me the same questions in person. And I'm going to a bar, or, you know, those questions don't really come up till later in the conversation. You end up dating an alcoholic, right? So my last relationship, which actually ended in December, I was dating a guy for a year, 3 months into the relationship. He turned out to be, you know, an alcoholic completely, you know, drugging, drinking at night, waking up drunk in my apartment, you know, lying about cocaine use, et cetera. You know, he ended up getting sober for me, went into the rooms, and relapsed, and we broke up. And, you know, it's like either I was attracting people that weren't approving of my sobriety, they ended up being alcoholics, or they're judging me, right? And it's just, and it's also like, the other part too is like, you don't live the same lifestyle as somebody that's drinking heavily, right? Like, I don't want to be out till 4 a.m. or having my whole life be centered around, you know, when your next party is, where you're going, when your next drink is. Like, that's not fun for me, right? Like, I want to be dating somebody that is either a light drinker, somebody that maybe has, you know, 2 to 3 to 4 drinks a week, or, you know, whatever, 1 to 2 drinks on the weekend. Somebody that, you know, their whole life isn't centered around drinking. They're mindful, they're healthy, they're well, they're aware of what they're putting into their body. I don't want to be dating somebody that's, you know, drinking and going out all the time and, you know, always kind of drunk.
Yeah. I mean, it's not attractive, like, regardless of what they want to label themselves or what we want to label them. Someone who makes, I mean, to me personally, someone who makes drinking their like top priority is so unattractive to me.
It's so unattractive. I like, literally want nothing to do with that person.
Yeah.
I want nothing to do with that person. Like, give me something else. Give me some flavor. Like, who are you really?
Yeah. I mean, it's 2024. Like, that's your main concern. Like, that's your extracurricular activity, is to go out and drink.
And you'd be surprised. I mean, even these guys that I know, you know, in their 30s, they're still going out all the time, getting fucked up all the time.
Oh,
when does it end?
Oh, honey.
Especially in
the age has nothing
cities.
To do with it.
Yeah, of course not. Of course not. But especially in the metropolitan cities, right? Like, which is ultimately where Club Pillar is launching for that reason.
That's so cool. So, I mean, yeah, I definitely see this as like something that's so needed. I get asked all the time about dating, how to go about dating. I mean, I personally, well, when I'm dating, I let someone know right off the bat and I say, hey, if that's not like a thing, if that's going to be a thing, then this situation is not going to be a thing. You know?
Absolutely.
Like, good. No. Next.
Yeah, but you know,
it's kind of a numbers game.
It is a numbers game, and I have no problem like deciding that. But I think the main problem is, where do you go to meet these like-minded people that are either light drinkers or completely sober? Especially for those who aren't in recovery, right? Club Pillar is not just for people in recovery. It's for people that are sober, curious, looking to cut back on drinking, completely sober. I mean, you name it, right? You're not going to go out to a bar to meet these kind of people, because you're probably not going to a bar if you're sober or sober curious. And if you're not in recovery, and by the way, recovery is supposed to be a sacred place, then you're not meeting. How do you know who's sober and who's sober curious? Where do you go to meet these like-minded people, right? And that's why there's no choice but to use a dating app, right? In that regard.
Totally. I feel like everyone should just wear t-shirts that say, like, nobody knows that I'm sober.
Absolutely. It's so true. It's so,
so
true.
You know,
it's so
like,
true.
You know where your peeps are.
Exactly.
That would be so funny. So, okay, I love that you open it up to, like, not just people who identify as sober or in recovery, that you're kind of opening up, because I truly believe that sobriety is a spectrum, right? Like, we have to have, it's not black and white. We have some shades of gray in there. And I think also, I've experienced this in dating. I used to date someone and they were actively looking. They weren't sober themselves, but they were actively looking for someone who didn't drink, because they've had such horrible dating experiences dating drinkers. They're like, let's try someone who doesn't drink and see what that's like.
Oh my God, absolutely. I mean, even before, like, when this idea kind of started to permeate, I had friends texting me, can you set me up with someone sober? They weren't even sober. Like, I think that there is a huge...
We're in high demand.
Very high demand. I think there's a huge growing market too of this kind of sober, curious. I don't want to say it's a trend, but I think it is a movement. I think in 10 years, you know, society is going to start to look at, you know, big alcohol companies as taboo, like they do with pharma, or like they do with, you know, cigarettes or tobacco. I think we're trending there. I think a lot of people, especially among the younger generations, are, you know, more aware of what they're drinking and wanting to drink less. There was a ton of studies that, you know, show that specifically Gen Z wants to go on dry dates, which I didn't learn what that term was until I started, you know, doing research on, you know, Club Pillar in the market. But
yeah,
I think there's a lot of people that are sober curious. I just think we don't know about it, A, because it's so stigmatized. It's so stigmatized to be sober, right?
It
so
is.
So stigmatized.
Still.
And it still is. And actually, mm-hmm. like, the main mission with Club Pillar, which I think a lot of people don't know, is that we're actually trying to rebrand sobriety. We're actually trying to make sobriety kind of a net positive social game, a club that people are wanting to get into, dying to get into, that red velvet rope experience that someone would have outside of a new nightclub that opened. That's what we're trying to do with Club Pillar and ultimately save lives, where people aren't afraid to speak up about their sobriety, right? Like, hey, look, you know, there's XYZ celebrities on this app. They must be sober. They must be sober curious. That must be cool. I want to join this app.
Totally.
And that's really our mission here. It really is the first sober members club to come to market with referral-based system. And that's kind of how we differentiate.
Okay, so tell me about the referral-based system. Like, how does that work? Like, you have to know someone who got approved? Or, like, what are we working with?
Yeah, so because, A, you know, we're dealing with people that are sober, some in recovery, some not in recovery, it's very important that users are vetted. And it's very important that, you know, people that say they're sober curious or sober curious. So the first, 500 to 1,000 users are people that I know.
Okay.
After that, you'll need 3 referrals to get onto the app. Kind of
Damn.
Like Raya. If you know about Raya, we're kind of basically making the first sober curious Raya plus a lifestyle brand for the sober industry.
Wow.
Which doesn't exist today. So I'm very excited about it. I think it's really going to break the norms. You know, I'm the consumer. I want it. All my friends are dying for it. I have people begging me, when is it going to launch? I'm ready to pay. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. There's a huge gap in the market.
How do you go about, like, vetting someone and making sure that they are who they are and doing what they're really doing? Right.
Yeah,
like, I'm sure that's a really tedious process.
Yeah, so it's 3 referrals. You know, our membership committee approves them. They have to put in either their Instagram or their LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Or, you know, their email. And then if they know 3 people, so out of those first people that I know are sober curious, somebody knows somebody, someone knows somebody. If they are heavy drinkers, or, you know, they're not who they say they are,
there's
a thumbs up, thumbs down feature on the app. Was this person, you know, when you meet this person, was this person drinking a lot? Were they, you know, who they said they were? And then there'll be policies to remove that person if they're not.
Interesting.
Make sure that it's a safe place. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Because, I mean, also, it is paywall too. Like, it is an app you have to pay for, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So someone would really have to be, like, putting in a lot, first of all, a lot of effort, but also, like, putting down some cash to make up these, like, fake, you know, fake profiles, or, you know,
you would be
doing
surprised.
And saying,
you know, you'd be really surprised the second somebody hears, you know, a celebrity is somewhere.
Yeah.
They'll do anything. It's crazy. We live in a
really?
Society.
That's so funny.
Yeah. But no, we're very on top of it. We're going to take the necessary measures to ensure that it's a safe space, and vetted, and that, you know, people feel good about, you know, talking to people that are either sober curious or completely sober.
That's really cool. I really like that. I think safety is really important, and I really like that you guys do that. Like, I mean, 3 references, like, that's solid. I like that.
Thank you. Yeah.
Cool.
I'm so excited. Like, it really has the, you know, the sleek, the sexy branding that a lot of kind of, I guess, other sober companies maybe don't have. And the reason that we're doing that is to kind of, it's this larger mission, right, to rebrand sobriety with kind of necessary, sexy, sleek branding. And partnerships with mocktail companies and, you know, sober retreats coming, a lot of exciting things coming that I can't really name, but a lot of exciting things in the work, a lot of exciting things on the app that I can't name yet until it launches, but we have a lot coming for the sober and sober curious movement and society.
That is so exciting. I love this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk about, I want to kind of go back to, like, you mentioned sobriety being a trend. I personally do not find that as, like, a bad thing. I think that is fantastic. Like, okay, it's trendy to be present and, like aware and build awareness of yourself. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, so I want to take a step back here. I don't want to say the word sobriety is necessarily a trend. People that are in recovery like myself, you know, it's life or death, right? That's not a trend. That's very serious. I think what's trending is people becoming more aware of how much alcohol they're consuming and what they're putting into their body and the health risks associated with it. And I think that's beautiful. I think that's great. I think that's where we want to be as a society. I definitely don't think recovery is a trend. I think that's a very serious topic and much different. But I think younger generations especially are becoming more aware of, you know, what they're putting into their body in regards to alcohol. They're drinking less. They're more, you know, health conscious. And I think that's where we're going as a society.
Yeah, I mean, recovery.
You know, that being said, everyone's still smoking nicotine and vapes left and right, including myself. But we all have a vice, so
You can't win them all, Jesse.
exactly, Jessica.
But I mean, yes, I agree. I mean, sobriety, like just the definition of sobriety and recovery, I think get maybe intermixed sometimes, and get confused. Yeah, recovery is a term that's used for people who are, like you said, life and death. You know, like this is something that needs to happen from them. And there's also different processes that comes with people in recovery. Where I find is like sobriety, that's kind of like more of a gray area because we have other kind of terms that are in the sobriety kind of umbrella, if you will.
Right.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, recovery. No, that's not trendy. That's just what it is.
Yeah,
it's just happening. Exactly. It's just happening.
Exactly.
Yeah, but building awareness around your alcohol intake, I don't think there's anything better than that.
No, I think it's great, and I think if I can start to, you know, have people that are speaking up more about wanting to be sober, sober curious, or even wanting to join, you know, this club, I think I've done my job right. Really, is mission oriented. And if people can kind of look at sobriety in a new light, that's kind of, you know, the sexy thing, and you know, something that they kind of need a badge of honor to be a part of, which is kind of like what Club Pillar is and is going to will be, then I've done my job effectively.
That's so awesome. So you also, I saw that Leah from the Real Housewives of New York.
Yep.
Are you guys, is it a collab? Is she part owner? What does that look like? What is the relationship?
Leah's actually, she's on our team. So she's very involved. She's great. She's a good friend of mine. I'm very passionate about the mission as well. So she's kind of our creative lead. She's on the team with us for the long haul.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's so
nice. We're very lucky to have her.
Yeah. And it's also nice to see like a woman talking, first of all, talking about dating, right? Because I feel like women don't really talk about dating as much. Like they just go on it and then they like complain about it.
Right? I know.
Yeah. You know,
it's like what guy is watching me when I talk about dating? It's like, exactly. Yes. You know?
Yes, totally. But I love that Leah was like, I saw her on some interview and she's like, yeah, like I'm dating. Like I'm looking for like someone to date. Like I freaking love that. And then add in the sobriety element. Like she's so proud of her sobriety and her recovery and just another woman who's, you know, in the scene, also on a reality show, you know, saying all this stuff, being very public about it. That's huge.
It's huge, and it's once again like gonna shape, you know, where we're going as a society and it's huge. People that are sober are very passionate about being sober, as I'm sure you know, and so I'm really excited to kind of build, you know, communities in key cities around Club Pillar, which is kind of what we're doing. We're actually launching in New York City first. We will be coming to Austin eventually. We will be going to LA. We will be going to the UK, London, Miami. Yeah, Chicago, but it's going to be one city at a time. We're going to be throwing, you know, events in each city and building kind of communities in each city. So we're very excited.
So
we have
exciting.
Our first event tonight. We have a first event tonight. You go to the Club Pillar Instagram, you'll see content from it. Very excited. And some of our, you know, key founding users will be there.
That's so great. So when can like we start applying, or what does this look like? What does the process look like for this?
No, that's a great question. So there has been a little bit of confusion, I think. So right now we have our website, which has a typical process where you're putting in your information. It's getting sent to us. It's not really a typical referral process yet. It's just you're submitting kind of form that you want to be a part of this when the doors do open, and it helps you get higher up in the priority list to get accepted if you go in and kind of apply now our membership. When we go in and actually have the app and we launch it, we're going to take those people that have applied and then vet them, and they're going to be first on our list. So we're kind of building this wait list ahead of time now, which isn't the actual membership process, but it does get you higher up on the list to acceptance, because we obviously love and respect everybody that's, you know, supporting us at this day and time, even though it's very early on.
Yeah.
It's been a long day. I'm stumbling on my words about a lot of coffee. So I'm like, what am I saying?
I got you. And you also, it's like exciting to have your event tonight. Like, that's so great. It's so basically it's like getting you first in line, like get in there first, get your foot in the door. And then I'm sure you're going to be sending out like announcements and updates.
Yeah, absolutely. So everybody that's, you know, that applies and or signs up and we have their email, they're going to be getting news about when we're launching, you know, ways to kind of get on earlier or people to bring on, kind of a whole host of things from us. So it's really good upside. If you can go to clubpillar.co. There's a typical sign up. It's right there. And then you just submit your information and you've officially entered the early doors of vetted process that will come in when we launch.
Ooh, I love being the first to know. This is like such an exclusive interview. I mean, we got a couple months, but I feel like those months are just going to like fly by.
Yeah, we have a lot of store coming for those months. Like I said, we actually have... So we have this event tonight and we're going to have two other events in New York City before launch. We're going to be going into other cities. Other things are going to be releasing outside of the app. So we have a lot in store to kind of bring to the consumers now and to bring to the world. And I can't wait to be spearheading it.
Jesse, this is so exciting. So I have one more personal question for you.
Go for it.
What do you personally like to do on first dates? Besides drinking.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. Definitely not drinking. We would not want that now.
No.
I'm a dinner girly, so I'm a big foodie. Love to go to, you know, a nice restaurant. Love to, you know, maybe go bowling, maybe have a day date, coffee, a museum, lunch, cafe, or some sort of activity. That's typically what I love to do. I had a date, last week is their second date. The guy actually was sober. I took him to Drake. So like just all kind of fun, creative things. But I do still love to go to dinners. It's probably my favorite thing. Although sometimes it can get awkward, especially on a first date. If you're, you know, first meeting somebody and you're eating with them, it's like, am I sipping my soup too loudly? Like, you know what I mean? Like you name it. It's like, do I like this person? Do I want to leave? Am I counting down the minutes till I can leave? But I like to do activities. I like to walk around. I like to have lunches. I like to, go to a museum, go to an art gallery, you know, any sort of thing. I love day dates. I really do.
Oh,
on the weekends because I'm
best.
Working during the week.
Yeah.
The best.
I am definitely more of a day person than a night. Like, I don't know, 7 o'clock comes around, I'm like, we're good. Like we're shutting the book, we're good.
You won't see me. Exactly. Especially in the winter, like forget about it.
Yeah, for sure. And I love that suggestion, the day dates. Those are the greatest. Yeah, even just like going for a walk.
Absolutely. But, you know, even there are people that are still sober curious and, you know, you might meet them on this app that still like to go out, maybe do a lounge, right, at night. And they still kind of live that metropolitan cultured city lifestyle. And they still want to do those kind of things where they want to go to a lounge or a nice dinner. And you can still do those things. You can still have fun. You can still go out with somebody that's, you know, not a heavy drinker or a light drinker. And that's kind of what we're trying to do here at Club Pillar.
I love that. You're redefining sober dating.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm here for it. I'm totally here
and
for it.
The last thing I'll say is the dating app is really a means to an end. Like we're kind of being the luxury brand at the forefront of the sober movement with, you know, certain things launching for us, merch coming out, maybe one day a mocktail of our own.
Ooh.
I don't know. It depends where the wind blows for that one. Sober retreats, events, kind of partnerships, you name it. So we're really excited. And, you know, it's been great so far. All the love that I've kind of received from people that have heard about it really shows that, you know, there is something like needed like this in the market and people are really excited to be on it. And I'm really happy to be kind of solving that problem for consumers.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh, I got to get Jessie. I got to talk to her about this.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah. I mean, I love to get the inside scoop and I'm definitely going to sign up and be the first one on the list there. Cause I just love this.
Girl, you got to get in line. You got to, there's a whole host of signups, a whole host. But
okay.
Definitely sign up. I know you now. You'll be You'll be good.
I'm in. I got my ticket in.
You're in.
Jesse.
Once we launch in Austin.
Yes. Oh,
my God. It's
going to
be a little till then. Yeah.
That would be so fun. I think it would be so good in Austin because Austin is really taking off with the non-elk movement.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. And especially younger. Like, I see them starting younger here. It's great.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole thing, is it's starting younger, like, everywhere. And I think it's beautiful.
Totally. I love it. Well, Jesse, thank you so much for your time, your experience, and your knowledge, and for filling us in on Club Pillar and where we should go and how we should find our next Sober Girl dates. I love it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, Jessica. It was such an honor.
One last thing before you go. It is important to remember that everyone's experience changing their relationship with alcohol is different. However, one thing that remains consistent is the need for support. Head to asobergirlsguide.com now because we have tips and tricks at any stage of your booze-free journey. We got your back. From live coaching calls, homework, and exercises to implement into your life ASAP, our Sober Girls Guide group coaching will give you the accountability, structure, community, and support to change your relationship with alcohol and never look back. This could be the day you stop doing that self-destructive thing you do. Let's get it. Head to asobergirlsguide.com now. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.